You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 28th of September 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we've got two news stories today about anti-white behaviour. One comes from America and one comes from Britain. Two white students at Arizona State University were forced out of a multicultural learning space after two female Black Lives Matter activists took issue with the Police Lives Matter stickers on their laptops. And this is interesting because Black Lives Matter will say to you, well, all lives matter, we're just trying to draw attention to black lives here. Well, if all lives matter, what's wrong with pointing out that police lives matter too? Why did they take offence at this? If we look at when the Police Lives Matter movement began, it really began in 2016 when five police officers were shot and killed in Dallas at a Black Lives Matter protest by a Black Lives Matter supporter. And this is really when people started saying, well, what about these police lives here? That they're taking a huge risk when they're trying to arrest armed criminals. And what we see happening is, because they're trying to protect their lives, and a lot of them do lose their lives, they end up having to use force against these criminals because they're trying to resist arrest. And when we actually look at the saints that Black Lives Matter put forward, their marchers that have been killed by the police, we always find that they were killed when they were resisting arrest. They were either coming at the police with a knife or trying to pull the policeman's gun out of his belt. I mean, even when you look at George Floyd, he was resisting arrest. He was wriggling his way out of the car and saying that he wanted to lie there on the ground. There's always more to the story than we are actually told by the mainstream media. And why is it that these Black Lives Matter activists, why is it that they think that it is that the police are killing black people? Well, it's because that's the message that they get from the mainstream media. And this took place in an area that was supposed to be multicultural, so it was supposed to have all different cultures within it. But quite clearly, if somebody wants to speak up for their culture, or not even just for their culture, but just to speak up for the police who are multicultural, then they're going to get kicked out of the multicultural learning space. The incident, which took place at the college's Phoenix campus on Thursday, was recorded by one of the woke activists before it was shared to their Instagram page. So they were very proud of doing this. They were very proud of kicking somebody out from this space because they had a different opinion to them, because they supported a different cause to them. I mean, this is just bigotry in action. That's what bigotry is. So if somebody refuses to allow somebody else to speak, refuses to listen to somebody else's point of view, that's what bigotry is. They are a bigot. It's not people that have nationalist views. It's not people that seek to have a homeland for their people, or people who are concerned about their own ethnicity. That's not what a bigot is. A bigot is somebody who refuses to allow somebody else to speak. And that's what these Black Lives Matter activists are doing. They're saying, we don't like your opinion, so we're going to kick you out of this space. And it's the same mentality that we see on social media. People say, we don't like your opinion, so we want to ban you from being able to speak in public. It would be very simple for them just to block the person, so that they don't have to see what that person is saying. But they don't want to do that. They don't want anybody to hear what somebody else is saying if it's a different opinion to them. And that is the definition of bigotry. The footage begins with the white students sitting at a table studying before they are approached by two activists who state, "You're offensive. Police lives matter. This is our space. You're making this space uncomfortable." So the white students were doing nothing at all. They weren't interfering. They weren't trying to force their opinions on anybody. They were just sitting there studying, doing what they're supposed to do, studying in the university on campus there. And the Black Lives Matter come up to them and they pick a fight with them. They tell them that they're offensive. "You are offensive," is what they said. They didn't say what they were saying was offensive because they were sitting there in silence, studying. "You are offensive," is the words that they used. The two black activists tell the white students they must leave, saying, "You are white. Do you understand what a multicultural space means? It means you are not being centered." Could it be any clearer that this is racially based? The reason why these students were kicked out of that space is because they're white. The black activists are quite upfront about that. They're quite proud of this fact. They put this on Instagram. They think it's perfectly acceptable to racially profile somebody and kick them out of an area because of what race they are. If this was round the other way, we would be being told about what horrible racists they were here, and they would certainly be arrested by the police and told that they were discriminating against black people here. But when it's white people, you can discriminate against white people as much as you like without any fear of the race hate laws being used against you. And what do they mean here by "it means you're not being centered"? I mean, these students here, they weren't trying to be the center of attention, were they? They were just sitting there studying. And apparently that's offensive, to be white and to be sat there studying in a multicultural space. She says, "Do you understand what a multicultural space means?" And maybe there are some white people that don't understand what a multicultural space means. A multicultural space means less white people. It's the same as diversity. That's what diversity means. It means less white people. It doesn't actually mean everybody getting on. It means that white people will be blamed for anything that the other groups there can think up, basically. And they're encouraged in this by the mainstream media. That's where this all comes from. It comes from the mainstream journalists. One of the white students subsequently asks, "White is not a culture?" And one of the activists responds, "White is not a culture. You think whiteness is a culture? This is the violence that Arizona State University does, and this is the type of people that they protect." And it's incredible, isn't it? It's so offensive. So white people don't have a culture. We don't have any type of culture that is associated with white people. We don't have Italian culture, French culture, German culture, British culture. Apparently we don't have a culture. And just this term whiteness here, whiteness, I mean, it just sounds horrible, doesn't it? Imagine if we were to be talking about blackness and saying blackness isn't a culture and blackness has no place here. And this is what they're saying here. They're saying whiteness has no place on this university. They're saying this is violence. They are equating the fact that there are white people in this multicultural zone with violence. And this is a tactic that Black Lives Matter have been using. They've been saying that silence is violence. So not even saying anything at all, just sitting there studying. And if you happen to be white, then that can be seen as violence. I mean, this is something that I was talking about last Christmas. If they're going to say that just using speech is a crime, and then people wish to prevent a crime, and you can use force to prevent a crime, you're supposed to restrain somebody and put them under citizen's arrest, that essentially means that somebody could just be speaking, say something that somebody else doesn't like, and if they're an ethnic minority, that then they can use violence, actual violence, to stop you from speaking. And then they can say, "Well, I was defending myself." It was self-defense because the person was committing a hate crime because they had an opinion that I didn't like. And this is where we end up when we equate words with violence. And we've now gone so far that it's not just words that are equated with it. It's just being silent. It's just being silent and getting on with your studying. This is now seen as violence by left-wing activists. She continues yelling, "This white man thinks he can take up our space. They think they can get away with this shit," she continues yelling. So she's making it quite clear that by multicultural space, it means this is not a white space. White people cannot be here if they show any concern for the police, if they actually identify with being white, then they shouldn't be there. Multicultural space means non-white space, basically. It doesn't mean everybody there all equal together. It means non-white space. She continues, "This is the only place on campus that does not center you, and you are still trying to center yourself, which is peak white cis male bullshit." And how are these students trying to center themselves there? They're just sitting there in silence. They're just sitting there in silent studying. I'm sure if they had been saying anything, that would have been put up on the Instagram account. And this is the incredible thing. They're so proud of actually doing this. They're so righteous in doing this because they believe that what they're doing is correct. Racially profiling these white students and kicking them out of the area and just castigating them and yelling at them and shouting at them because they're white. One of the students replies, "I'm not racist. I'm just studying. I pay the same effing tuition as you. I'm working 60 hours a week while going to school because my parents don't just give me money." And I guess he's implying from that that whoever these students were that were attacking him, maybe they'd been given some kind of scholarship fund. We have all these drives to get more non-whites into university. Perhaps they were there on a grant, whereas the white student has to work 60 hours a week so that he can afford to go to the university. And when he's there at the university, he's kicked out of the study area because he's the wrong race. The activists continue to protest the Police Lives Matter sticker, saying it is affiliated with white nationalists. So they're making the excuse here that it's this Police Lives Matter sticker, but from what they've been saying, they're attacking these two students because they're white. They're saying white is not a culture and you are white and things like this. They haven't really mentioned this sticker as of yet. And what they're saying here, that it's affiliated with white nationalists. I mean, if you're a white nationalist, then you support anything to do with Europeans, anything that's positive for Europeans and law and order, basically. I mean, it's not just white nationalists that support Police Lives Matter. White nationalists also breathe oxygen and they drink water. Does that mean that drinking water and breathing oxygen, that should be banned as well? I mean, this is no reason to not support a sticker that says Police Lives Matter just because nationalists happen to support that movement as well. The activists continue. They say, "These people kill people like me and like us, so you are promoting our murderers." And this was the other activist that chimes in there. So they think that the police are murderers. Where would they get this idea from, that the police are murderers? Well, of course, they get that idea from the mainstream media, because that's what the mainstream media promotes. It promotes the idea that the police go out there just looking for black people so that they can kill them. And because of this, when the police do try to arrest somebody black, they usually panic because they think they're about to get shot and killed. And because they panic, they resist arrest because they think they're going to be assassinated by the racist police. And because they are resisting arrest, the police officer has to use force, which makes the black person getting arrested, makes them panic all the more. And you have a recipe for somebody to get seriously hurt. And it all boils down to this false narrative that is promoted in the mainstream media. And what happens to the people that talk about the truthful narrative, the people in the alternative media? Well, the mainstream media accuses us of hate and says that we need to be shut down and silenced. And we're the only ones that are speaking the truth here. And it's because of these lies that the mainstream media promote that cause half of these unfortunate incidents between the police and black people. I mean, you can see this here. You can see this here. That's why she is accusing these students of promoting murderers, because she literally thinks that the police are murderers. It's not hyperbole here. And you see it all the time that this is actually what a lot of black people think. They think that the police just go out there racially profiling them and looking to kill them. They don't racially profile them. The police go after people that fit witness descriptions. And if somebody who has just been the victim of a crime gives a witness description of somebody that is black, then the police are going to be looking for somebody who is black. It would be stupid of them to go looking for somebody who is white if the victim of the crime has told them that the person that attacked them was black. That's the reason why the police go after black people. They don't racially profile them at all. They have all these programs and directives to try and get down the numbers of black people that end up being arrested, because there's this big discrepancy between their percentage of the population and the number of them that are in prison. But that's the reason for that is because they are more likely to commit crime, in the same way that men are more likely to commit crime than women. It's not that the judges are all racist. It's not that the police are all racist. It just boils down to the fact that they are a different ethnicity. And because they are a different ethnicity, they have a different temperament. They have a different character. That's just the way that things are. The same way that you have different characters and different temperaments between different breeds of dog. It's the same with different types of human being. And the sooner we face up to that, and the sooner we face up to the patterns that we see, the observable patterns in society and the facts and the statistics, the better life will be for everyone. But instead of that, those of us that talk about the facts and the statistics, of course, are accused of inciting hate by doing so. But if we only had policies that actually reflected reality, life would be better all round for everyone, not just for white people. The white students are then defended by an Asian peer, but the clash continues. And Asians are now being accused of being white supremacists, because Asians are more likely to be at university than their percentage of the population. But that's because they have a much higher IQ. Asians, on average, have a higher IQ than white people do, which would predict that you would find more of them at university. It also predicts that you would find less of them within the prison system. And you do find less of them in the prison system than their percentage of the population. And again, it's for the same reason. It's because Asians are a different ethnicity to whites. The white pair eventually exit the multicultural learning space, saying that they are going to complain to the dean. I hope they did so, but I doubt whether they will get anywhere, because the dean will be wishing to promote diversity as well, and he will be genuflecting before Black Lives Matter, and he will probably tell them that they shouldn't have had this offensive sticker on the computer there, and it is offensive because it says that police lives matter, and according to Black Lives Matter, the police are out to kill them. So the facts of the matter, reality, just won't come into this. And of course, the Arizona State University, they have not publicly responded to the video. They have just ignored this. The activist was trolled on her Instagram account after sharing the footage. Really out there changing hearts and minds by going full Karen freak out on an effing sticker, LMAO, one wrote in the comment section. And this is interesting because they're accusing the Black Lives Matter protester of a full Karen freakout, but in actual fact, the word Karen, again, it's a racial slur. It's a slur about white women that get freaked out when they see people that they think are criminal types, and the criminal type happens to be black. So you have this stereotype of a white woman that calls the police because she sees somebody that she believes is behaving suspiciously, and the police come out and the black guy says, "You've just come out because I'm black, and the woman just called you up because I'm black, and because she's white, you came to her assistance." And this sort of person is called a Karen. So the person on the social media here, she's actually using a racial slur against whites, to compare to these activists who were actually black. They were black activists. And of course, Black Lives Matter, I think the majority of people that support Black Lives Matter are actually white. Most of them are female, but I do think most of them are white. We looked at a poll that was taken last year, and I think it was something like 85% of blacks said that they were quite happy with the number of police that they had in their communities. And I think 60% said that they would want more police in their community. It was only 15% that wanted less. And of course, Black Lives Matter are calling to defund all the police. Another chimed in, the people recording are racist themselves by discriminating against someone for the colour of their skin. Imagine wanting to fight racism by yelling and harassing people until they leave. And as I pointed out before, apparently non-whites cannot actually be racist. So in actual fact, what they're doing is being anti-white. And this is the way that we have to refer to this. We have to point out that they're being anti-white by talking about things such as whiteness and by kicking somebody out from the space that they're in because they are white. That is anti-white behaviour. Now, we might think this is a bit crazy. This is going on in a university over there in America. This is students. But this is also going on over here in Britain at the Labour Party conference. The party that is in opposition to the party that is in power here in Britain condones this sort of behaviour. Too many white people were speaking at the Labour Party conference, according to a National Executive Committee member, who called on white men to step aside and allow ethnic minorities to speak. And of course, this is from the Labour Party conference that is ongoing in Brighton, which has already caused controversy by having Angela Rayner there calling Boris Johnson and the Tory party scum. She really doesn't do the party any favours, does she, by using language like that. I think both parties like to put on a facade of being civil. I mean, you want to be setting a good example if you're a politician. And even if you disagree with somebody, you still want to be civil to them. But not if you're Angela Rayner. The example you want to set if you're Angela Rayner is to use ad hominems. And of course, using ad hominems is the lowest form of conceding defeat in an argument, basically. It means you cannot beat the person you are debating against, so you end up resorting to calling them names instead. The left-wing Labour Party's annual conference in Brighton on Sunday was apparently marred by too many white men asking for a chance to speak on issues surrounding housing and transport. Mark Ferguson, a member of Labour's National Executive Committee, said, per the Press Association Newswire service, "I'm afraid, and I am not speaking from a position of particular strength here, that there are too many white men putting their hands up. I am not anti-white men. Some of my favourite people are. My dad is a white man," he added, to laughter from the crowd. "But I do not want white men to exclusively dominate this or any other debate at this conference. And following on from my comrade in the chair this morning, I do wish to see the diversity of the hall reflected. I'm not putting anybody on the spot here, but if you want to speak, do not be afraid to put your hand up. We want to hear from you. This is an inclusive conference." So what's happening here? I guess non-whites are not putting their hand up for some reason, and white people are putting their hand up, and that's not good enough. We can't have white people putting their hand up at the Labour Party conference. We don't want to hear from white people. We want to discriminate against them on the basis of their race. Contrary to the claims of inclusivity, a Labour Party MP, Rosie Duffield, said she would not even attend the conference over safety concerns. The feminist MP revealed that she has received many threats from the woke wing of her party over her stance against transgender people using female-only spaces. So I guess she's a white woman. She's too frightened to go to the conference because of what she has said about transgenders. But even the white people that do go to the conference, they're being told that that they should not put their hands up. And they say here that he wants to see the diversity of the conference reflected. Well, how about the diversity of the country? The country is supposed to be 87% white. So that would mean that 9 out of 10 people that put their hands up, you would expect them to be white. And you would expect people to be putting their hands up if they have something that they feel of use to say. Do they just want to hear from black people, even if they haven't got anything interesting to say? I guess the main thing that is really being talked about with this conference is, what Angela Rayner has actually said. And despite considerable backlash against her statements, Miss Rayner said that she would only apologise if Prime Minister Boris Johnson retracts the unidentified homophobic, racist and misogynistic comments, because she didn't just call him scum. She also said that the Tories were a bunch of scum. Homophobic, racist, misogynistic, absolute pile of banana republic, Etonian piece of scum, she said. And it's interesting, isn't it, that she calls the Conservative Party homophobic when a lot more than just 2% of the Conservative Party are actually homosexual. And homosexuals do only make up about 2% of the population. Miss Rayner told Sky News that she was trying to convey in a passionate way the anger and frustration that people feel when you have a Prime Minister who has said things and not apologised for them that are racist, that are misogynistic, that are homophobic, that has given billions of pounds of taxpayers' money to their mates and literally wasted that money. Well, I'm sure that if he was accused of being racist, if he thought that he had been racist, that he would apologise for that. Is she not going to say what these comments are that he supposedly said? And why is it that she is so concerned about these comments that he said? Should she not be more concerned about policies of the party? She's doing the same thing here, isn't she? She's just going after somebody else because he has a different opinion to her. She's not trying to explain alternative views. She's not trying to give an alternative answer to any opinions that Boris Johnson has come up with. She's just going to call him all these names. Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer, who is struggling to keep the reins on the far left of his party, said that he would not have used such language himself and would talk to her later. And it appears that there's been a lot of support from the far left of the party for what she was saying here. Nobody in the party appears to have condemned what was said about white people and that there were too many white people at the conference and they shouldn't be putting their hands up. Responding to the outburst from Rayner, Conservative Party Chairman Oliver Dowden said, "At a time when the country is trying to pull together to recover from COVID, the last thing we need is the Deputy Leader of the Labour Party calling people scum and yelling insults. We need to make politics better, not drag it into the gutter." Well, it does seem as if the Labour Party really, really dislike the members of the Labour Party, don't they? If they're telling white people they shouldn't be there at the conference and 87% of the country is white, if they're calling Boris Johnson and the Conservative Party, who most of the country voted for, if she's going to be calling them scum, she's basically calling her own supporters scum. Angela Rayner is quite a character. She was a gym slip mum, an unmarried mother. I believe she's a grandmother now by the age of 43. And it shows that she missed out on her education. She's really not that bright. And she was. I think she was the shadow minister for education at one point. She's also a big supporter of Black Lives Matter, and no doubt she supports this chairman that said that there were too many white people here. So what we see, it's not just in the universities, it's also in the opposition party here, it's also at the Labour Party conference, and I dare say we will find an instance of the Conservative Party saying that there are too many white people. Don't forget that Boris Johnson is extremely proud of how diverse his cabinet is, how it's the most diverse cabinet in history, which essentially means it's the least white cabinet in history. The Chancellor of the Exchequer, he is non-white. The Home Secretary, She is non-white. The health secretary, he is non-white. And this is something that we're supposed to think is a great thing. We're supposed to think it's great that all the white people are being replaced by non-whites. All the indigenous British people are being replaced by people with a different ethnic heritage. And of course, if they have a different ethnic heritage, they're going to be doing things that are loyal to their ethnic heritage, aren't they? It's only natural that you're going to do what is best for your family, and you wouldn't expect them not to. And this is the issue. The white people go along with this. They seem to think that it's perfectly fine to have people that might end up being put in a spot where they have divided loyalties. You are going to be put in a spot with divided loyalties if you've got loyalties to your family and you're being expected to do things for the benefit of somebody else's family. It's going to put you in a spot, isn't it? When we have court cases, we don't allow people that are the supposed victim to also be the judge. And it's the same situation here. If you've got people from a different ethnicity and they're in a position of power, it's only right that they should do what is best for the people of their ethnicity. But at the same time, they're being expected to do what is right for the other groups in society. So it puts them in an awkward position. It puts them in a position that we should not be putting them in. And yet we do, because we've been told that it's somehow a great strength. I mean, the white race is behaving in a completely insane fashion at the moment. And the remedy to it, of course, is us here at Radio Albion talking common sense. We are lacking common sense in the mainstream media, but thankfully we have an alternative media whose stated purpose is to talk common sense. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.